those who remain in the truth, who abide or remain in that truth, walking faithfully in it, that they have the promise of eternal life, and they will indeed be set free.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
I know that there are some of us here today who are feeling a bit like a prisoner, a spiritual prisoner, that you're bound by something. All of us have at one time or another have felt that. And the scripture tells us, in fact, that apart from Christ, we all are prisoners. We're prisoners of sin and of death. We're prisoners of the things that take hold of us and don't seem to want to let us go. But Jesus came that we might have life, that we might walk in freedom. In fact, Jesus said that for those who believe in Him, for those who walk in Him, those who walk in His truth, that they will know the truth, and that truth will set you free. Amen. The followers of Jesus will know the truth of who we are. We just sang about who we are. I mean, beloved children of God, right? But we will know the truth about who we are, know the truth about God, and that when we walk faithfully in that truth, we will indeed be set free from bondage, from the bondage of sin and death, from all that holds us, that we will be set free from slavery to sin and its consequences, physical and spiritual death, and that we will know life, eternal life. But you and I must walk in that truth, orient our lives according to Christ and the truth that He has revealed in His Word. So today then, we continue our series in 1 John, walking in light and love. We come today to this challenge here to walk in truth, to walk in truth. We'll see in our text that those who remain in the truth, who abide or remain in that truth, walking faithfully in it, that they have the promise of eternal life, and they will indeed be set free. So before we look at our text in 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 27, 1 John 2, verses 18 through 27, a little context here first, that here John is once again, he is warning against false teachers who were denying the incarnation of Christ. They were saying that, oh, Christ, well, He's not really God in the flesh. They were making Him in to be something else. And they were twisting the nature of salvation and saying that, you know, it doesn't really matter how you live, that salvation isn't, well, some were even denying the very concept of sin, saying there is no such thing. And of course, that is not at all the truth that God has revealed to us in His Word. That's not the truth of Jesus Christ. It's not the truth of our salvation. So they're saying He didn't come in the flesh, denying His human nature, denying the reality of sin, the need for those who proclaim to be saved to walk in light and truth. But John asserts, though, many times in this letter, that those who truly know Christ must follow in the footsteps of Jesus and walk in the truth. The true children of God must love God and love one another and not love the fallen world system that is opposed to Christ. Do not love the world, the things in the world. It's not saying don't love sinful people. We do. God does. But it says don't love that fallen world system that is opposed to God, is hostile to God. And that fallen world system with its desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes and the sinful pride of life, these are all opposed to Christ. That is, they are anti-Christ. So don't love that which is anti-Christ. So John says then, starting in chapter 2, verse 18, children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you have heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you, but the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. So we are challenged here to walk in the truth, to abide in the truth. And first there, John discusses Antichrist and Antichrists. I'd say, is he repeating himself, saying the same thing? No, but in the scriptures here, in fact, it's found only here in 1 John that we see this term for this person that we call the Antichrist, that this Antichrist is coming because it is the last hour. Scripture says that right now we are living in the last hour. In the entire, sometimes people come up to me and they will say, Pastor, I really think that we're living in the end times. I see things that are going on. We are living in the end times. And I say, you're right. It's not an opinion. We are living in the end times because Scripture says we're living in the end times. And when did the end times begin? When Christ died and rose again, that was the beginning of the end. When he ascended into heaven, we are now living in the end times, that time between his first coming and his second coming. These are the end times. This is the last hour. Now you might think, well, it's been 2,000 years. That's a lot of end times. That's a very long hour. I got to tell you, I've heard some speakers, I'm not going to name names here, I've some speakers that last hour, listening to them to speak, it felt like 2,000 years, okay? Maybe some of you might feel like that sometimes here, So why does God say these are the end times? This is the last hour when it's been so long. Well, because again, in God's eyes, God's perspective, what is 1,000 years? What is 2,000 years? It is what? As an hour? As one day? So it is the last hour. It is the end times. And that means that Jesus is coming again. He's coming again soon. When could it be? Maybe today. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe another 1,000 years. We don't know. But he is coming again. And one of the things that the scripture tells us is that when he comes again, before he comes again, actually, there is going to be a very powerful world ruler that here John calls the Antichrist. But in Scripture, there is the Antichrist, but there are also then many Antichrists. The Antichrist is what? Is a particular individual, this world ruler, who will lead the world in rebellion against Christ at the end of the age. He is the final world ruler who will be empowered by Satan, and he will seek to oppose the rule of Christ. Elsewhere in Scripture, he is referred to as the man of sin or the man of lawlessness and as the beast in the book of Revelation. He will lead the world in rebellion against God. But he will be utterly defeated when Jesus returns. And so John says, children, It is the last hour. And you have heard that Antichrist is coming. The Antichrist, he is coming. But John has another concern, though, for us. See, because he asserts that besides the coming of the Antichrist, that right now, right then as he spoke, there are actually many Antichrists, many who are opposed to Christ, who exalt themselves against him. Many have appeared. And who are these? These are the false teachers. These are the false teachers who were opposed to Christ and who were teaching twisted doctrine. In chapter 4, he refers to these deceiving teachers, these false prophets, as being the spirit of the Antichrist. So there were many present in the world at that time, as John wrote, who were opposed to Christ and who were teaching lies about the nature of Christ and the nature of salvation. Well, it's a good thing that we don't have any problems with that today, right? No, sadly, there are many antichrists in the world today, aren't there? And I have it on pretty good authority, I can tell you, it's going to continue to be so until the Antichrist comes and he is defeated then when Christ returns in great glory and power. But in the meantime, though, so the Antichrist is not here. Actually, we don't know that, right? The Antichrist might be out there somewhere. We don't know. But he has not yet risen to that position that he will. But in right now, there are many Antichrists. And by the way, the Antichrists, these many Antichrists, they're not just out there in the world. That's one thing. The problem is what? Is when they come into the church. What are you talking about? Is that possible? Can false teach, can the spirit of Antichrist come into Christ's church? Yes. And so that is why you and I need to exercise discernment. Be aware. We're told that we must not accept every teaching about Christ, but rather we must test the spirits, that is, test the teachers, to see if what they are saying lines up with the Word of God. And by the way, I want to encourage you to do that here too. Don't believe it just because I said it. I hope that I'm faithfully proclaiming the Word of God here. But it's your job, your responsibility, to carefully discern and test everything, including what I say. Does it line up with the Word of God? Right? So we're told to test, to discern, to be careful, because there are many antichrists out there, and they're here in our day and age too. And their worst work is done from inside the church, not outside it. In fact, when we get to that passage in chapter 4 in a few weeks, we're going to talk a little more about this need for discernment. But also, do you think that there are that the spirit of Antichrist is coming into even Bible-believing and teaching churches in our day?
Yes.
Sure is. So we need to exercise caution and discernment. So as we walk in truth, be aware. The Antichrist is coming, but there are many already here in his spirit. We're warned against apostasy. Apostasy means to fall away. Someone who has a profession of faith or a profession of Christ, but then falls away from that, falls away from the truth. And I think what John is getting at here is that there were deceivers, there were false believers in their midst. False teachers, deceivers who went out from the church, went out from among them. But John says they went out from us because they were once of us and decided not to. He says, no, they were never. They were false. They were not really of the true church. They claimed to be genuine, but their going out from the church proved that they were false. Jesus told a parable about the need, again, to exercise discernment, that the wheat and the tares, they grow up together. You know the thing about wheat and tares, the weeds, they look very much alike as they're growing up, but it's only at the end that it is revealed that the tares were actually weeds and not wheat. So exercise discernment within and know that there are some who are going to go out from the church, but they were never truly of the truth. So they arise from within the church. And then they depart from the true fellowship, and they unfortunately sometimes lead people out with them. In a few weeks, we're going to name names. Now, I'm not going to name names of people here in this church body. I'm going to name names of some false teaching that we need to be careful of out there that's infiltrating Bible-believing churches. But the true, the genuinely born again, remain within the true church. They endure in the faith. They endure in fellowship. They endure in the truth. So the ultimate test of true faith, then, is endurance or persevering. And the departure of people from the truth is their unmasking that they were never really of the truth. So as we walk in truth, beware of the Antichrist and the Antichrists among us. Know that there will be those who fall away and go out from the church because they were never truly of the truth. But then there is anointing in the truth. You see, genuine Christians, on the other hand, are anointed by the Holy Spirit and have the truth. That is, God has put his mark or his seal on you when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. One of the things that God did was bless you or give you the gift of the Holy Spirit, his presence within you. And it is the Holy Spirit then who guides us into truth, into all the truth. So true believers have the indwelling Holy Spirit who illuminates the minds of believers so they can walk in the truth. The Holy Spirit guides the believer into the knowledge of the truth so that he or she can walk in that truth, live their life according to that truth, and be pleasing to the Lord. Could you save yourself? Could I save myself? No, we needed a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But once we're saved, are we done with our need for God? Are we done with our need for his power? And his? No, we're not. We continue. We need him. I need him every day. So we need the Holy Spirit to guide us into the truth. It's so easy to fall for error, isn't it? But the Spirit will guide us into the truth. Not only doctrinal truth, that's foundational, but the truth then of how then are we to live, to give us practical wisdom and how to live out the truth of God's Word. But these antichrists, these false teachers, they did not have the Spirit and they did not walk in the truth then. They were denying the true nature of Christ, distorting salvation. They were denying sound doctrine. You know, that's why it's so important for us to know good doctrine, sound doctrine. That's one of the reasons why we do that in our worship service. At the beginning of the service, we do that worship in truth, worship in spirit and truth, a little foundational lessons on essentials of the faith. We can't walk in the truth if we don't know what the truth is, can we? Must know sound doctrine. But biblical sound doctrine, though, isn't just facts in our heads. It's also, it matters how we live, doesn't it? Sound doctrine, but also sound living that flows from sound doctrine. But these antichrists, these false teachers, were denying that, denying that Jesus is the Christ, that he was God in the flesh. As a result, they were denying the Father because it is the Father God who testified to the truth of Christ the Son. So they're denying the Father as well as the Son. But the true believer, though, embraces Jesus as the Christ and receives both the Father and the Son. So as we walk in the truth, we need to know that Antichrist is coming, but even now there are many Antichrists. And that there will be some who come into the church, but they will go out, thereby proving they were never truly of the truth. But we, as believers, have the truth in us. We have an anointing of the Holy Spirit. That is, we have the Spirit in us who guides us into the truth. So therefore, you and I, what must we do? We must abide in the truth. By the way, I didn't set out to have everything start with an A there. It just kind of happened, you know. One of the old ways of approaching preaching sometimes is called alliteration, where everything starts with the same letter. And I think there's value in that when it really fits the text. But sometimes, have you ever seen preachers that will really stretch the text just to get it? But, you know, here it's right there in the Scripture. The Scripture alliterated itself here today, so that's why it's there. Okay, I helped a little bit on one of the verses, but the others are all there. Which verse? Who knows which verse I helped it a little bit? 19, correct. But the concept is there, correct? That's right. They went out from us, apostasy. Right, so what's your job and mine, though? It's to abide. Abide is an old King James word kind of word, isn't it? And it means to do what? To remain vitally connected. Jesus says in John 15, he says what? Abide in me, remain in me. He is the vine, we are the branches. What happens when you cut a branch off from the vine? It withers and dies, right? So in the same way then, if we cut ourselves off from Christ, we wither and die. So we must remain vitally connected to Christ. So those who know the truth must remain in the truth. And if we remain in the truth of the gospel, we remain in fellowship with the Father and the Son. So the wonderful promise we have then is eternal life. Eternal life. I think many of you already know this, but when the Scripture speaks of eternal life, that doesn't just simply mean we're going to live forever. Well, it does mean that. Eternal life means living forever. But it isn't just living forever. It is a quality of life forever. If I told you that you could have eternal life, meaning you're going to live forever, you're never going to die. You see, how you are right now, in the body you're in right now, you're going to continue in that forever and ever and ever. How many of you would take me up on that offer? Not too many, right? Now, I don't think any of us really enjoy the prospect of death, physical death. But the reality is, especially for a believer in Jesus Christ, that physical death is, it's a blessing, isn't it? It's a blessing to be released from these mortal bodies and this world. So eternal life doesn't just mean living forever, and it certainly doesn't mean living forever the way we are now. Eternal life is a quality of life. It is forever, but it is in God's blessed presence in resurrection bodies. That's eternal life. And that is the promise then for those in Christ. Why we then must abide or remain in Him. So false teachers, the antichrists, they were trying to deceive the people in John's day, and they're out there deceiving people today. But you and I must remain faithful to Christ and walk in the truth. So I said we're going to come up on this topic again in a few weeks, and when we get to chapter 4, we'll get a little more specific about that, about the truth, what the truth is, and remaining in that truth. But for today, know that we must do so because we're called to do that. But in it is eternal life. In it then is true freedom then. Jesus said what? You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. I'd say, so what? What do you want me to do with this today? I was John talking to some other people 2,000 years ago. The Antichrist, he's not here yet. Well, he may be, just hasn't been revealed yet. But the spirit of Antichrist, many Antichrists, what am I to do? Well, I would remind again that all followers of Jesus are called to remain in the truth, to not be taken in or led astray by deceiving spirits, but to walk in the truth. And that those who remain in the truth of Jesus have the promise of eternal life. So it asks, has the truth set you free? The truth is that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, and he is also man. He's a human being. I don't profess to fully understand, you know, how that works, how the eternal Son of God took on human flesh, became one of us. Every bit as human as you and me, but without a sinful nature. So he became our representative. See, the fact is, if we have any students of Romans in here, we've been studying that in Wonder Lake Bible Institute on Sunday morning, you know that the Romans is all about the revelation of God's righteousness. It's a profound exposition of the gospel, the good news. And if we're going to understand the gospel, the good news, we have to understand the bad news first, right? And the bad news is that every person ever born, every person alive right now, every person is a sinner under God's righteous judgment. Because God is holy and just, he must punish sin. But because God is also love, he's gracious and merciful, he provided a way to punish my sin and yours, to judge my sin and yours, but save us, redeem us through it. And that was through Jesus, who lived a life of perfect righteousness, who then gave his life on the cross, dying for us, was buried and rose again, so that if we believe in him, put our trust in him and his sacrifice for us, God will forgive our sins and give us the gift of life, of eternal life. But then you and I, then now, we are called then to remain in him, to remain firmly connected to him, walking in the truth and the truth of his word. So has the truth set you free through faith in Jesus Christ? And are you remaining? Are you abiding in the truth? To remain in the truth, we have to know the truth. And to know the truth, how do we do that? Well, got to be in his word, right? But it isn't enough just to know what this says. We also must do what it says, live it. And I'm not living this out perfectly.
Where do you start?
Right. It's hard, isn't it? It's hard to live out there in the real world, isn't it? But that's why we have the gift of the Holy Spirit, right? To show us where to start.
In the Bible,
one day at a time, right? One day at a time, no matter what comes at us, and life gives us its challenges, doesn't it? One day at a time, through the Holy Spirit. Walking in the truth. Remaining in the truth. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we have eternal hope in Jesus Christ. That he is the truth. He is the way, the life, and the truth. And that we can come to you by him, through him, in him. Father, I pray that you would give us wise and discerning hearts, that we would seek the truth each day, that we would walk faithfully in your word, remaining in it, knowing, Lord, that we have this precious and wonderful promise of eternal life. We give you thanks for that gift, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.